Our gospel this fourth Sunday in Lent comes from the Gospel of Luke in the 15th chapter. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have bread enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. And the slave replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." Then the elder son became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never even given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." The word of the Lord. Please be seated. I don't know about you, but when I think about the parables that Jesus speaks to the crowds over the course of his ministry, this is one of those that I think of the most. And when I'm trying to really define the message of Jesus and the hope that he brings and the undeserved grace that we receive through him, this is the parable that hits home. And even better, this parable would make a great TV movie special, wouldn't it? It has it all. It has family conflict, a son leaving home to make his way in the world, dissolute living, which would probably make sure that the movie got bumped up to at least a PG-13 rating, a natural disaster from a famine that ruins the son's fortunes, and then the momentous return. Heck, I can almost see the slow motion montage of the father running to meet his son before he even made it to the home. The more I think on it, though, The more likely I think it is that this movie has already been filmed at some point. Maybe not the whole plot in one, but so many of the themes of this parable seem so true to our human experience. How many of us as children bristled under our parents' rules and expectations and wanted nothing more than to have a chance to leave home and do our own thing? How many of us who have been parents have struggled to give your own children everything they have needed or wanted, and yet have struggled with not being appreciated and honored for the hard work that you've put in? When I hear this parable that we read today, my heart breaks for the father. Not sure I can understand the restlessness on the part of the younger son, but when he asks for his share of the inheritance from his father who is still alive, he is essentially saying, I wish you would hurry up and die. I can't imagine that that is something any parent in good health would want to hear. And yet, despite the insult, despite the fact that the father is obligated to give his son nothing at this time, the father respects the wishes of the younger son. Now, up to this point, we don't hear from the older son. We don't know what his thoughts are on the matter. Now, maybe the older son is thinking good riddance, or maybe he's upset for his father's sake. We aren't given insight on this. But what we do know is that the son gets what he wants from the father. The father provides everything that he desires, and then the son goes off and blows it in some foreign land. Maybe Las Vegas, who knows? And the problem with these more famous parables is the fact that we've heard this before. We know the story well. The son squanders the value of the property that he has received from his father, and when famine strikes, he doesn't have a backup plan. He's stuck tending pigs, which would have been scandalous to the Jewish listener. Now remember, pigs are ritually unclean. And Jesus tells us in the parable, he came to himself and said, how many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. He came to himself. He remembered who he was. He remembered where he received his blessing. And so he goes home. Not to be an honored son again, but in order to maybe be treated like a hired hand. But we know the rest of the story. We know that the father will have none of that. His son is home. He runs to him, orders a family ring put on him and the finest of robes, and they are going to have a party. The father claims the son regardless of the pain, regardless of what has happened in the meantime. None of it matters. But it matters to somebody. Because now we're introduced to the older son, the big brother who saw how poorly his little brother had treated their father. He's heard how his brother had liquidated the property that he was given by his father, and now suddenly after losing it all, he's back? And he seems like the favored son again? This doesn't seem right. This seems downright scandalous, and yet this is how the father responds. And the older son is hurt that such a celebration has never occurred for him. Now, quick poll, I need a show of hands. Which brother do each of you identify with more? How many of you identify more with that older brother that always worked hard? You know, it's okay to raise your hands, yeah? And how many of us think the younger brother? Yeah. I'm a younger brother, I really am, I admit it. Now, how many of you are just still upset over the fact that Holly Holm lost in the fight last night? Here's the thing. This parable isn't about the older son. It isn't about the younger son either. It's all about the father. The father is the one constant. The father is the one who provides, the one who honors his children. And if we're paying attention to the parable, we have to pay attention to the audience. You see, this parable isn't about a father's relationship with its sons. It's about God's relationships with the Pharisees and the scribes and the tax collectors and the sinners. This is what Jesus is responding to. If we go back to the setup of this parable, Jesus is consorting with tax collectors and sinners, eating with them, and not the Pharisees and the scribes. And the Pharisees and the scribes begin to grumble. Doesn't that sound just a little bit like the older son? The one who pouted as his father celebrated the sinful, disgraceful younger son's return? And don't you get the sense that the tax collectors and sinners are just happy to be there? Like they probably know that they don't deserve to be in the presence of Jesus, and yet Jesus comes to them, seeks them out, and maybe even runs to them? Heck, if we take this parable seriously in the context of Jesus' challenge of the Pharisees and the scribes, then it becomes apparent that Jesus is bringing the party. I've always wanted to say that. Jesus is bringing the party because these tax collectors and sinners, some of whom have been dead inside for years due to the fact that they never felt that they could seek the presence of the Father in heaven, have come to seek Jesus out. They've come to him in hopes that they somehow might receive just a taste of the grace that is promised through the Messiah. They want to start over, even if it means they have to start from the bottom. And the Pharisees and the scribes can't believe that Jesus would so honor these sinners with his presence. Doesn't he know who they are? Doesn't he know what they've done? Jesus does remember. Jesus knows. It's simply not important. It's not important because now the blessings of the Father can be shared with the children once again, both the wayward and the loyal. The blessings of the kingdom aren't just for the good or just for the bad. The blessings are for both. In this parable, Jesus is telling the Pharisees and the scribes, the blessings of the kingdom have always been there for you. You just had to act on them. You just had to realize it. And to the sinners and tax collectors, Jesus says, come, we are celebrating you, for you who were dead are now alive in the hope of this moment. You were lost, but now are found. I see you for you. It's strange sometimes to realize that in our either-or world, it doesn't always have to be that way. Jesus isn't just there for the tax collectors and sinners, or just for the Pharisees and the scribes. Jesus is there for both, just as the blessings of the Father were available to both sons. So that means that maybe, just maybe, the blessings of God here in this place are available for all as well. It's not just available to those who have been here for 20 years. It's available for those who have been here for 2 Sundays as well. It's not just available for those who donate generously of their time and talents. It's available for those who can only barely make it to worship as well. It's not just for those who like to attend the early service. It's for those late service folks as well. God's blessings are open to all. May we not begrudge those who receive grace without earning, for we could never earn it anyway. May we see what Christ sees in us, sinners who have and will continue to receive God's blessings. And may we know the truth that God loves us, all of us, and God gives us all that we need, regardless of guilt, regardless of worth. For we are children of God, and God will never forsake God's children. Amen.